الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention, send His blessings and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In continuation of the tafsir of Surah Al-Ma'idah, today is the 13th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1434, which corresponds to the 25th of January, 2013. And we had stopped at ayah 42. Yeah, I don't think we did 42. We did 41. Nah. So we'll be doing 42 right now, inshallah. And we'll take it from there. Let me see. Fantastic. So it reads, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. سماعون للكذب أكالون للسحت فإن جاءوك فاحكم بينهم أو أعرض عنهم وإن تعرض عنهم فلن يضروك شيئا وإن حكمت فاحكم بينهم بالقسط إن الله يحب المقسطين. They are avid listeners to falsehood, devourers of what is unlawful. So if they come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judge between them or turn away from them. And if you turn away from them, never will they harm you at all. And if you judge, judge between them with justice. Indeed, Allah loves those who act justly. The Shaykh rahimahullah says in his commentary, سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ وَالسَّمْعُ مَا هُنَا هَا هُنَا سَمْعُ اسْتِجَابَةٌ سَمْعُ اسْتِجَابَةٌ أي من قلة دينهم وعقلهم أن استجابوا لمن دعاهم إلى القول الكذب. In this particular context, here, what is intended to them being avid listeners is the listening in which there is an agreement. Yani they don't only listen with their ears, no, but they actually implement it with their selves, with their bodies. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Sahih? You understand? They hear. Now you could tell someone something that he doesn't want to listen to, and he still listened to you, but he didn't act upon it. Slow down, Abdul Hadi. The game hasn't started yet. Huh? And he listens to you, but he doesn't do anything about it. No issue. But if someone listens to you, even if what you're saying is falsehood, and then they implement it, then it becomes that form of listening which Allah is speaking about in this ayah. Sama'un, they hear attentively, and there's istijaba, there's reply, there's a reply, there's a reaction, there's a response. Meaning, because of their deficiency in their religious commitment and in their intellect, they respond and agree with the one who calls them to the false statements. Akkaluna lissuhti, أي المال الحرام بما يأخذوه على سفلتهم وعوامهم من المعلومات والرواتب التي بغير الحق. Ouch. I'll tell you what. Anyways. So, أيوة. التي بغير الحق. What do they do? أكلون للسحت, they consume or devour unlawful wealth, which they take from their, from the lowly, from those who are in a yani lower degree in the society, and from their laymen. They take that as a, you know, a payment for information they provide them, or as a salary which they impose on them without a due right. So because he's the sheikh, so he will make the people, if they want fatwa, to pay him money to give fatwa. Or he would impose on the people to give him salaries to look after them. And they consume this money in haram even though they're not needy of it. The fact that someone could be working in da'wah and an institute, you know, sponsors that person, no issue. But these people are actually taking money which they do not need, unlawfully. فَجَمَعُوا بَيْنَ اتِّبَاعِ الْكَذِبِ وَأَكْلِ الْحَرَامِ. So they brought a relation between two grave acts. They follow lies and they consume unlawful wealth. فَإِنْ جَأُوكَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ أَوْ أَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ. So if they come to you, then either judge between them or turn away from them. فَأَنْتَ مُخَيَّرٌ فِي ذَٰلِكَ. You are given the choice. You have the choice in this regard. وَلَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ مَنْسُوخَ. And this is not abrogated. This particular ayah or ruling is not abrogated. And we said abrogated meaning a new law would be revealed which voids the previous one. نعم. فإنه عند تحاكم هذا الصنف إليه يخير بين أن يحكم بينهم أو يعرض عن الحكم بينهم. Anytime this type of people come to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, then he was given a choice between judging between them or turning away from them. بسبب أنه لا قصد لهم في الحكم الشرعي إلا أن يكون موافقا لأهوائهم. Why is that the case? Because the reason why they even seek these questions, it's not because they're actually seeking the legal verdict, but they're seeking the opinion which is in agreement with their desires. So they only want to use it to fortify what they have already chosen. So they have already, opinions which they adhere to, and then they look for someone, like fatwa shopping. They look for someone who gives them a similar ruling so they can say, okay, khalas, you know, even the Prophet Muhammad, according to these Jews, he said that what we're doing is okay. And if he gave them an opinion which disagrees with them, they will belie him and curse him out and say that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
وعلى هذا فكل مستفت ومتحاكم إلى عالم يعلم من حاله أنه إن حكم عليه لم يرضى لم يجب الحكم ولا الإفتاء لهم.
الله أكبر. Sheikh came out with the fatwa. The Sheikh said, therefore, anyone whose fatwa is sought, or anyone who people refer to in regards to judging from among the scholars, generally, and he knows the condition of the one who's seeking this fatwa. He knows the condition of the one who's seeking this verdict, this ruling. And he knows that if he were to give him the answer, that person will not be satisfied. He is no longer obliged to judge between these people nor give him a fatwa. He knows that they already want something from him, and if he doesn't give them what they want, they will be upset. He doesn't have to answer anymore. Okay? Like maybe a bank, huh? A bank will try to go to a sheikh and, you know, say, come on man, you know, say this is a shari'i transaction and hook it up for us. And we're, you know, he knows that they're trying to get something from him. And he knows that. And if he says it's haram, they will not accept it. They will go looking for another sheikh who will say it's halal. He doesn't have to answer them. No, get out of my room. Get out of my office. I have nothing to say to you. Because they're playing with the deen of Allah. They're playing with the deen of Allah. Trying to find a fatwa which agrees with their desires. Naam. فَإِنْ حَكَمَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَجَبَ أَنْ يَحْكُمَ بِالْقِسْطِ. However, if he decides to judge between them, then he has to do so with justice, with equity.
وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَإِنْ تُعْرَضْ عَنْهُمْ فَلَنْ يَضُرُّكَ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ حَكَمْتَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. حَتَّى وَلَوْ كَانُوا ظَلَمَةً وَأَعْدَاءً.
Even if they were wrong, oppressors and enemies.
فَلَا يَمْنَعُكَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْعَدْلِ فِي الْحُكْمِ بَيْنَهُمْ.
That should not prevent you from being just in dealing with them. And this is the guidance of Islam and the beauty of Islam. That even though those people may be wrongdoers, they may be oppressors, they may be enemies to Islam, trying to kill Islam and Muslims, if you are in a position where you have to judge between the people, you cannot let that hatred or that enmity which you have cause you to judge or to rule against them, or in favor of the Muslims versus the non-Muslims. You have to do so with justice. Allah commands justice with everything and everyone. Hey.
وفي هذا بيان فضيلة العدل والقسط في الحكم بين الناس وأن الله تعالى يحبه.
And in this, we see the virtue of justice and equity in judging amongst people, because, and Allah Azza wa Jal loves that. إن الله يحب المقسطين. Allah loves those who act justly when they judge between the people. Ayah 43 says,
وكيف يحكمونك وعندهم التوراة فيها حكم الله ثم يتولون من بعد ذلك وما أولئك بالمؤمنين.
Allah Azza wa Jal goes on to say what means in English, or the interpretation of which in English is, but how is it that they come to you for judgment while they have the Torah, in which is the judgment of Allah? Then they turn away even after that, but those are not in fact believers. Wa alaykum salam.
ثم قال متعجبا منهم.
Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, in a state of amazement from these people, that how is it that they, you know, seek your judgment?
فَإِنَّهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ عَامِلِينَ بِمَا يَقْتَدِيهِ الْإِيمَانُ وَيُجِبُهُ.
If they were true believers, acting per what iman necessitates and obliges,
لَمْ يَصْدُفُوا عَنْ حُكْمِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي فِي التَّوْرَاةِ الَّتِي بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ.
They would never turn away from the ruling which Allah has revealed in the Torah, which is in their hands.
إِلَّا لَعَلَّهُمْ إِنْ يَجِدُوا عِنْدَكَ مَا يُوَافِقُ أَهْوَاهُمْ.
Except that they may find with you that which agrees with their desires. And here we have an issue. If you give da'wah to the Jews and the Christians, or the Christians particularly, they try to use this ayah. I've seen the Christians use this ayah against Muslims as an evidence that the Torah and the Old Testament and the New Testament have not been distorted. They have not been distorted, because Allah Azza wa Jal was saying, why do they seek judgment on Muhammad alayhi salam while the ruling of Allah is in the Torah? So how do you answer that?
Yeah, the Torah has been mentioned in the Quran, was which the Muslim believe that there is a revelation of all this coming to Musa alayhi salam and also the angel. But this this manuscript now is not exist already in the original form. We believe that there is Torah, but the Torah or the Old Testament that they have right now is not already.
Yes, Abdul Hadi. But here, at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they're being told that the rule of Allah was in the Torah. So forget about now. Back then, why did they have to leave the Torah and refer to the Quran if they had the ruling of Allah in the Torah? Which suggests that the Torah hasn't been distorted. There are actually three answers. Three cheek-smacking answers, if you want. I just came up with this word right now. Don't look it up in a dictionary. Anyone? Okay, I'll say it. Number one, we say, first and foremost, we believe that the Torah contains revelation from Allah. And we believe that there are parts of it which have been distorted. So, how do you know that what is being referred to here is not about the ayat which are still preserved? On what basis are you assuming that this is the ayat which have been distorted? So the first answer, they cannot get this from the ayah. The ayah is saying, number one, you highlight that by saying the context. What is the context of revelation? Allah is speaking about particular people who would come to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam seeking a fatwa. And the ayah was revealed for that incident. So, and we have a hadith that they came seeking the fatwa of the zani, the adulterer. And they were trying to hide it from their Torah, because they know that even in the Torah, the ruling on the fornicator or the adulterer is stoning to death. So they tried to hide this particular ruling. And Allah is referring to these rulings. These rulings. Thirdly, we say, in fact, until now, we believe that in regards to judgment and penal codes, the Torah is pretty much sound. What the Jews and the Christians changed in the Old Testament and New Testament primarily has to do with Aqidah. It has to do with Trinity, it has to do with the concept of Allah and the, you know, names and attributes. Very often the rulings until today about, you know, killing, the stoning to death the fornicator, the one who curses his parents is to be put to death. All of these are in the Torah until today. Until today. So the context of the ayah, it's not saying the whole Torah is reliable. It's saying in the Torah there's the hukum of Allah. in regards to the verdicts they're looking. And that is true. That is true. But does that mean that the Torah comprehensively is a reliable book? No, it is not. Why? Because we can show you contradictions within the Torah. And then we prove to them that Al-Quran is muhaiminun alayh, is superior, and in control of it. And that it explains what has been hidden in the Torah. Or it clarifies the misconceptions in it. Or it displays the proper aqidah versus the ambiguous one in the Torah. You understand what I'm saying? So there's no excuse there. Context of revelation. Huh? Context of revelation. Hey. So the Sheikh said if they truly believed, then they would have never turned away from the ruling of Allah, which is in the Torah. Na'am. وَحِينَ حَكَمْتَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ الْمُوَافِقِ لِمَا عِنْدَهُمْ أَيْضًا لَمْ يَرْضُوا بِذَلِكَ. And when you judge between them with the judgment which you have, there is an agreement with the one from Allah Azza wa Jal, which they have as well in the Torah, they're still not pleased with it. They don't want neither the hukm of the Torah nor the one of the Prophet ﷺ. They want their desires. It's like my way or the highway. Either you give me what I want, or whether it is you, Muhammad ﷺ, or the Torah, or I don't care what book God revealed, I'm not going to take any ruling except the one which agrees with my desires. This is the condition of these, filthy creatures. لَمْ يَرْضَوْا بِذَلِكَ بَلْ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ فَلَمْ يَرْتَضُوهُ أَبَدًا. So they turn away from it, never were they pleased with it. قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ هَذَا صَنِيعٌ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who behave in this fashion are not believers. أَيْلَيْسَ هَذَا دَأْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is not from the way of the believers. وَلَيْسُوا حَرِيِّينَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. And they're not worthy of iman. لِأَنَّهُمْ جَعَلُوا آلِهَتَهُمْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. They have made their gods their own desires. وَجَعَلُوا أَحْكَامَ الْإِيمَانِ تَبِعَةً لِأَهْوَائِهِمْ. And they made the rulings of faith relevant and as a follower to their desires. They want, things to be in agreement with their desires first. Now we'll get some more about the Torah. Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهَا هُدًى وَنُورٌ يَحْكُمُ بِهَا النَّبِيُّونَ الَّذِينَ أَسْلَمُوا لِلَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالرَّبَّانِيُّونَ وَالْأَحْبَارُ بِمَا اسْتُحْفِظُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَكَانُوا عَلَيْهِ شُهَدَاءَ فَلَا تَخْشَوُا النَّاسَ وَاخْشَوْنِ وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِي ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Indeed, we send down the Torah in which was guidance and light. The prophets who submitted to Allah judged by it for the Jews, as did the rabbis and scholars by that which they were entrusted of the scripture of Allah. And they were witnesses thereto. So do not fear the people, but fear me, and do not exchange my verses for a small price. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then it is those who are the disbelievers. Excuse me. This is a very important and lengthy ayah. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ عَلَى مُوسَى بْنِ عِمْرَانَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That's his name, by the way, his full name. We have sent the Torah, meaning we sent it down upon Musa ibn Imran. فِيهَا هُدًى يَهْدِي إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَالْحَقِّ وَيَعْصِمُ مِنَ الضَّلَالَةِ. In it was guidance which guides to the truth and to faith, and it protects a person from deviance. ونور and light. يستضاء به في ظلم الجهل والحيرة والشكوك والشبهات والشهوات. Light which is used to illuminate the path or the darkness of ignorance and confusion and doubts and desires. كما قال تعالى ولقد آتينا موسى وهارون الفرقان والضياء وذكرا للمتقين. وذكرا للمتقين. Verily you have given Moses and Aaron the Furqan as light and a reminder for the godly conscious people. يحكم بها بين الذين هادوا اليهود في القضايا والفتاوى النبيون. The prophets judge with the Torah those who are Yahud, the Jews, in regards to the verdicts and dealings and so on and so forth. النبيون الذين أسلموا لله, those who have submitted to Allah, وانقادوا لأوامره, and they followed His commands. الذين إسلامهم أعظم من إسلام غيرهم, those whose submission to Allah is greater than the submission of others. وهم صفوة هؤلاء الأراذل من اليهود من الاقتداء بها. What? لا, وهم صفوة الله من العباد. And they are the elite. They are the elite from among the slaves of Allah. فإن كان هؤلاء النبيون الكرام والسادة الأنام قد اقتدوا بها وتموا ومشوا خلفها, فما الذي منع هؤلاء الأراذل من اليهود من الاقتداء بها؟ If these fine people, fine chosen people, the prophets whom Allah Azza wa Jalla has chosen, if they agreed and they followed the rulings and the guidance of the Torah, so what is the matter with these low lives of the Jews that they do not follow it? If the best of them are following it, then why are they better than them that they don't follow it? They're expected to follow it as well. وما الذي أوجب لهم أن ينبذوا أشرف ما فيها من الإيمان بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي لا يقبل عمل ظاهر وباطن إلا بتلك العقيدة And what prevented them from believing in the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, knowing that no deeds of theirs will be accepted, nothing outwardly nor inwardly, nothing will be done externally or internally unless they believe in him عليه الصلاة والسلام. All their deeds will be of no value, nothing, nada, zip, nothing. Jews and Christians, Hindus and Buddhists, and any creature on earth who hears about Islam and the message of Islam clearly, it's clear, and they don't accept it, Allah will not accept from them any good deed. Nothing. What they do of good in this world will be given to them in this world. But in the life to come, they don't have the currency to be able to purchase paradise. You know, you need to have currency. It's like you travel to another country and they're dealing with pounds or liras or something, and you're carrying riyals. You have their own currency. In Saudi, your 10,000 riyals are whopping big number. You can do whatever you want with them. But in that country somewhere, in that island somewhere, in the Philippines or Hawaii or whatever, your money, and there's no place for you to do an exchange, your money is worthless. Because you have the wrong currency for that location. And the currency for the life to come is belief, coupled with good deeds. If you're missing belief, then you have missed the foundation upon which the good deeds are based. So you remain with nothing. So Mother Teresa, or Gandhi, or any of these people who are considered historically to be icons and successful people in Islam, they are losers. Straight up. Why? Because Allah created them for a noble objective, which is to identify Him and worship Him, and they spend their lives doing something else. Good for the people, but not good for Allah. Not good for themselves, in fact. So we have to have a clear aqidah on this issue, because many people are taken by emotions. Ya akhi, but yani wallah, wallah, Mother Teresa, man, what a nice lady. No, I don't think Allah will put her in the hellfire. MashaAllah. Mufti, the Mufti of the heavens. Also, you give fatwa on behalf of Allah, where He's going to put her. What do you want, Ya Khilaz? She's Allah's creature. He does with her what He wills. How do you know? We go by the rulings of the dunya. I'm not the one putting her in the hellfire. We're saying she belongs to Jahannam. She belongs. If Allah Azza wa Jal knew something that we don't know, she became a Muslim 2 minutes before she died, whatever the case may be, none of my business. I have nothing to say. But now we have to judge by what is apparent. Otherwise, you can never say that this disbeliever died as a disbeliever. Because everyone will tell you, like it was Steve Jobs. Everyone tells, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe. Maybe he became Muslim just before he died. Yes, yeah. Wallah, rest in peace, Steve Jobs, you know, especially iPhone users. They suddenly realized how much they love Steve Jobs. But we say Islam and Aqidah and Wala and Bara, la 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 la. iPhone, yeah, Captain, the guy came with the iPhone, yeah, Sheikh, rest in peace. May Allah have mercy on you, Steve Jobs. You think I'm exaggerating? Wallahi, this is on Facebook. On Facebook. And when I spoke about this in a lecture, I became the enemy of the state. How dare you speak about Steve Jobs? He was a Buddhist. Huh? He wasn't even a Christian. He was a Buddhist, a filthy Buddhist. So what is this nonsense? That people get taken by emotions when it comes to the deen of Allah. If he became a Muslim before he died, we will find out on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Huh? Until then, he's a kafir. Died as a kafir, his abode is Jahannam. That's how it is. And if you want evidence, in Surah At-Tawbah, when Allah Azza wa Jal prevented the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mu'mineen from making dua for the dead, for the deceased, or praying upon the disbelievers, he said, مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. After it became clear to you that they are from the inhabitants of the hellfire. This was about the people who already died. And Allah mentioned the word تَبَيَّن. It became clear for the Prophet ﷺ and the believers that these people did not accept Islam. So he prevented them from making dua for them, and Allah already issued the fatwa that they are from the people of the fire. Why? They died upon disbelief. So that was the early ruling of Allah regarding anyone who doesn't embrace Islam. That's why it's important that we share the message of Islam with all the people that we know. Relatives and non-relatives. Neighbors and non-neighbors. Anyone, any given opportunity, give them their right. Share with them Islam, even in the most basic form of being nice and kind, if possible. Huh? Hey. أين نحن؟ نحن ها هنا. وما الذي أوجب نعم؟ هل لهم إمام في ذلك؟ Do they have an imam, a leader who rejected the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام from the نبيين؟ نعم. لهم أئمة دأبهم التحريف وإقامة رياستهم ومناصبهم بين الناس والتأكل بكتمان الحق وإظهار الباطل. Yes, they do have leaders. Leaders whose affair is none but distortion and establishing their authority and their position over the people, and dealing with each other and working with each other to conceal the truth and to display falsehood. أولئك أئمة الضلال الذين يدعون إلى النار. It is those who are the imams and the leaders of the misguided who invite the people to the hellfire.
وقوله والربانيون والأحبار أي وكذلك يحكم بالتوراة للذين هادوا أئمة الدين من الربانيين.
Also among those who judge with the Torah or by the Torah to the Jews from among them are the rabbis. Rabbaniyun are the religious scholar who's full of spirituality, and al-ahbar are the rabbis.
أي العلماء العاملين المعلمين.
So the scholars who are knowledgeable and act upon the knowledge and they teach it to others.
الذين يربون الناس بأحسن تربية.
Those who raise the people with the best kind of upbringing.
ويسلكون معهم مسلك الأنبياء المشفقين.
And they take with them the path of the compassionate prophets.
والأحبار أي العلماء الكبار الذين يقتدى بأقوالهم وترمق أثارهم ولهم لسان الصدق بين أممهم.
And also the أحبار, the rabbis, who are the senior scholars whose statements are followed and their traces are followed, and they have trust, they are entrusted by the people and amongst the people. Of course, that was then and this is now. The rabbis of today and those people are on some other stuff. Just for the record.
وذلك الحكم الصادر منهم الموافق للحق بما استحفظوا من كتاب الله وكانوا عليه شهداء.
That ruling which came from them, which is in agreement with the truth, is only because they had been entrusted with the book of Allah.
and they were witnesses over it. أي بسبب أن الله استحفظهم على كتابه. Allah entrusted them with His book. وجعلهم أمناء عليه, and He made them guardians, if I may say, over them. وهو أمانة عندهم, and it is a trust with them. أوجب عليهم حفظه من الزيادة والنقصان والكتمان. This it became obligatory upon them to protect it from addition and deletion and concealment. وتعليمه لمن لا يعلمها, and that they have to teach it to those who don't know it. وهم شهداء عليه بحيث أنهم المرجوع إليهم فيه وفي ما اشتبه على الناس منه. And they are witnesses over it in the sense that they are the reference when it comes to it, and that they are the reference when the people have any misunderstanding or misconceptions about it. فالله تعالى قد حمل أهل العلم ما لم يحمله الجهال. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given a particular responsibility to the scholars which He did not give to the ignorant people. فَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِيَامُ بِأَعْبَاءِ مَا حُمِّلُوا. So it is incumbent on them to fulfill the weight of that which they have been entrusted with. وَأَلَّا يَقْتَدُوا بِالْجُهَالِ بِالْإِخْلَادِ إِلَى الْبَطَالَةِ وَالْكَسَلَ. اللَّهُ المستعان. And that they should not follow the ways of the ignorant people by submitting to laziness and laziness. وَأَلَّا يَقْتَصِرُوا عَلَى مُجَرَّدِ الْعِبَادَاتِ الْقَاصِرَةِ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الذِّكْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَالْحَجِّ وَالصَّوْمِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الَّتِي إِذَا قَامَ بِهَا غَيْرُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ سَلِمُوا وَنَجُوا. And that they should not restrict themselves to the various kinds of acts of worship that are kind of personal, like remembrance and salah and zakah and hajj and sawm, which is, because the Shaykh said, which if others were to do would also be safe. That's what you need to go to Jannah actually. وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ فَكَمَا أَنَّهُمْ مُطَالَبُونَ بِالْقِيَامِ بِمَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَأَنَّهُمْ مُطَالَبُونَ أَنْ يُعَلِّمُوا النَّاسِ. As for the people of knowledge, the same way they are expected to do that which is good for them and what is rightly theirs, they are also expected to teach the people. They are expected to teach the people, to educate the people. Because if there was no teacher and student, then how will the new people learn? How would the new Muslims learn? How would the even old Muslims who didn't get the chance to learn? It becomes impossible unless those people realize the responsibility that is upon their shoulders and they do their job. It is not sufficient someone will, I graduated from Medina, not me. I'm saying someone will say, I'm a graduate of Medina University and I have masters in Ulum Shar'iyya and Batiq, and then he's sitting at home all day. Doesn't have classes and sadly, I can count tens of them in Jeddah. People that we know are graduates from from Medina University or other places, Imam, Jamiat al-Imam or Umm al-Qura, and they have nothing to offer but criticism. Nothing but criticizing. When there's something, they come and criticize. No real knowledge being disseminated to the people. نسأل الله العافية. That's a calamity which paves the way for the less qualified people like myself to be doing the job. But if the less qualified don't do it, then someone with no qualification will do it, then it's a disaster. Then it's a disaster. But we would all prefer if a sheikh came and gave this dars. At least I would. And I'd be sitting right here, right in front of him, if given a chance. But we don't have anyone. We don't have anyone. Look at all these masajid in Aziziyah area. Aziziyah, they have this area. We have tens of masajid. All of them need translation. Every one of these masajid, the majority of the attendees are from the subcontinent. The Saudis are 10, 15 guys. And the rest of the masjid are people who speak English. And they come here, khutbah in Arabic, nothing. When I do happen to translate, it's like a big deal. Big celebration. And everybody comes after the khutbah, brother, zakallahu alaykum salam, zakallahu khair, brother, please come every week, brother, we need this. And we have 10 people living in Jeddah, don't do jack. Don't do jack, nothing. We are supposed to fulfill this need for the people. You have some ability, translate. You have to do it. If you don't do it, then you're blameworthy on Yawm al-Qiyamah, for Allah gave you this knowledge. You didn't, mashallah, you didn't do anything special to acquire it. That knowledge which Allah gave to these people was facilitated by Allah, because Allah will hold them accountable for it eventually.
So if you know any of these zero people, remind them of the rights of the Muslims over them. Some of them are in the KSA bros, ya Rais. And then they ran away, made their own group. Whatever. But these people need to fear Allah in this regard. They may be better Muslims than myself and others, but in this regard, they're lousy. Really lousy. And it's unacceptable, wallah. Allahumma musta'an. So the Shaykh said, they have to teach the people. وَيُنَبِّهُوهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَحْتَجُونَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أُمُورِ دِينِهِمْ. And then they clarify and they bring to their attention the important matters of their deen. What the deen requires of them. خُصُوصًا الْأُمُورُ الْأُصُولِيَّةِ. Specifically the fundamentals. The fundamentals, the basics of the deen. Muslims, every Muslim should know the aqeedah of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. He should know when he says, I believe in Malaika. What do you believe about the Malaika? Is it a baby with a halo and wings like the Christians depicted with the millions of angels that they have? What do you believe about angels? What are they made of? What are their function? What is their position? What tasks are they delegated? What does Israfil do? What does Jibreel do? What does Malakul Maut do? What does Malik do? Malik. Who knows Malik? قالوا يا مالك ادع لنا ربك قال إنكم ماكثون. In the Quran, believe Surah Al-Zukhruf or Dukhan, they said, oh Malik, Malik is the guardian of Jahannam. Call on your Lord. Let him save us from this. I forgot a segment of the ayah. After they say, the ulama say, after thousands of years, he responds, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونِ سَيُّ شَلْ remain. Nothing. Yani they would request of Malik to ask Allah, because they're too ashamed to ask Allah directly, to save him from the punishment of the hellfire. After thousands of years, he would reply only to say, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونِ you shall remain. That's Malik. This is in the Quran. His name is in the Quran. Mikael is in the Quran. His name. Jibreel is in the Quran. By name. If no one teaches us, which one of us is reading the Quran, mashallah, around the clock, to be coming across this ayah and taking down notes and remembering and memorizing and blah, 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 blah? Almost nobody. Illa man rahim Allah. So these things have to be clarified. The usuliyya. Today, inshallah, I have a khutbah in Masjid al-Bassam. What do you think I should discuss today? What is the matter that is usuliyya in our deen that should be discussed today? No one knows the season in which we're in right now? Mawlid. The season of the Mawlid. I don't believe it. The people who watch lectures I give are sending me greetings from Mawlid on WhatsApp, on email. I'm shaking my head. What? I mean, I thought you're on the same page, man. You watching the lectures, what the heck? I guess you didn't watch that lecture yet. A few of them. On the occasion of the Mawlid, brother, I would like to say to you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Two pages of salat and salam. Now you remembered on the Mawlid once a year, mashallah? Now, this is a serious issue in the subcontinent, in the Middle East. It could be even crazier than the subcontinent. In Egypt, they have sweets. Sweets which have lost their name. Yani it's supposed to be called Simsimiya or something. No. It's Halwa al-Mawlid. That's it. Around the year, around the clock, the whole year, it's called Halwa al-Mawlid. It's named after the Mawlid now. It's no longer given its original name because they make it on Mawlid. And they put on the box Halwa al-Mawlid. And I told you someone brought it to work. And a box was given away, sweets in the dhikr of the Mawlid. So these are issues that need to be addressed. Hey.
والتي يكثر وقوعها or وقوعها. And then also they have to address the issues which often happen, things which happen often to the Muslims. وألا يخشوا الناس, and that they should not fear the people. بل يخشون ربهم, rather they should fear their Lord. ولهذا قال فلا تخشوا الناس واخشوني, do not fear the people and fear me. ولا تشتروا بآياتي ثمنا قليلا فتكتموا الحق, so do not conceal the truth. وتظهروا الباطل لأجل متاع الدنيا القليل, and then display, don't conceal the truth and show falsehood for a small worldly gain. And this goes to the other kind of, you know, people involved in da'wah, who stand on stage in front of thousands of Muslims and non-Muslims and lie against Islam. They lie against the jihad. They lie against fighting. They lie against things that you cannot and you cannot afford. You're not entitled to change in the deen of Allah. You have to say to the people just as it is. If they like it, congratulations. If they don't like it, congratulations. They're lost. They have a problem with the deen of Allah, they're lost. It's not your responsibility. But to stand and distort Islam to make the people happy is nonsense. Do we have fighting in the deen of Allah? Yes. Yes. You have a problem? Maybe you have a problem. If you have a problem, which country do you belong to? He tell you whatever country. Go and tell your president to, you know, khalas, to put an end to the army and the marines and all the soldiers. Why do you guys have weapons? Why? Wallah, because, you know, okay, we have the same. Okay? You have it, we have it. What's wrong? What's the difference between you? Your country's name is whatever, and we call it Islam. Our country is Islam. So, if you're entitled for some weapons, so are we. If you're entitled for self-defense, so are we. If you're entitled to conquer some other country for some advantage, or because you fear the harm of people, so are we. What's your problem? You have a problem? Complain to God. Complain to God. Tell Him that you don't like what He revealed, and you see what's going to happen to you. Now, before later. Go ahead. Just like that. That's your job, honestly. And if you were to say this like that, wallahi, bi-idhnillah, Allah will put in the hearts of these people more admiration and respect to Islam than if you were to sit on stage and try to, you know, beat around the bush while they know that you are a liar. They know. And it's exactly what they want you to do. So we don't have to change anything. We just say it as it is. You say it in a wise way. You say it in a convincing way. You may, you know, be slick in what you discuss or what you leave for another setting. No problem. But to give a false image of Islam that is more peaceful for the people, just so that we can, you know, gain them. La. This is a betrayal. And this is fearing the people more than fearing Allah. It's a form of fearing the people more than fearing Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal told the people of knowledge to do exactly the opposite. The Shaykh said, وَهَذِهِ الْآفَاتُ إِذَا سَلِمَ مِنَ الْعَالِمِ فَهُوَ مِنْ تَوْفِيقِهِ وَسَعَدَتِهِ. These calamities or deficiencies, if the scholar is protected from them, then this is from the success that Allah had given him and his means of happiness. بأن يكون همه الاجتهاد في العلم والتعليم. That his main concern is learning and teaching. والله, that's a reminder for all of us, والله. ويعلم أن الله قد استحفظه بما أودعه من العلم واستشهد عليه. And he knows that Allah Azza wa Jalla has entrusted him with this knowledge and made him a witness over it. وأن يكون خائفا من ربه, that he should be fearful of his Lord. ولا يمنع خوف الناس وخشيته من القيام بما هو لازم له. And the fear of people does not prevent him from fulfilling what is right. وأن لا يؤثر الدنيا على الدين. And that he should not favor the dunya over the deen. كما أن علامة شقاوة العالم أن يكون مخلدا البطالة. The same way or in the same manner, the sign of the wretchedness of the scholar is that he is inclined towards laziness. غير قائما بما أمر به. He does not fulfill what he has been commanded. ولا مبالي بما استحفظ عليه. Nor does he care about that which he was entrusted with. قد أهمله وأضاع. He has wasted it and ignored it. قد باع الدين بالدنيا. And he has sold the deen for the dunya. قد ارتشي في أحكامه. And he has been bribed for the rulings he issues. وأخذ المال على فتاوي. And he took money for the fatawa. ولم يعلم عباد الله إلا بأجر وجعالة. And he never taught anyone except with a reward. Yeah, I can conduct the class 10 riyals a person. Ya Sheikh, you have a job. You're making money. Yeah, but you know. And this happens, how does this happen? It happens with people. I like to say everything as it is. It happens with speakers who actually charge money to give da'wah per lecture. English speaking people. How did I know? Those who are inviting me. How much you charge? I said, for what? I said, for the lecture. So are you joking or are you serious? No, brother, everybody charges. They have conditions, first class, travel, five-star hotel, and he has to bring his wife and kids, and he charges per lecture. I don't know. Yani, it doesn't make sense. I said, I don't charge anything. Yes, I cannot afford to pay my own way there and back and my accommodation. So, you know, be kind enough to sponsor that. Khalas. That's already a lot for the people inviting you to pay for your air ticket and your accommodation, whether it is a half a star hotel or 3 stars. Doesn't make a difference, man. You're not there on a vacation. You're there for da'wah. For da'wah. So make it easy on the people. Khalas, no, they charge money. They have jobs. Let's say he didn't have a job. Mashi, he didn't have a job. Okay, he needs to charge because this is his source of livelihood. Some of the scholars say, mafi mushkila. But what's with the 5-star hotel, Yasir? What's with the 5-star hotel and the first class flight? What? That is not, you're not going to make money for that. You're just going to chill out. Over chill. And that is not required. That is not required. So, you know, the Shaykh Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about all these kinds of people which we have among Muslims today. Those who hide the truth and those who make it a business. So the Shaykh said they don't teach anything except with fulus. فَهَذَا قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِمِنَّةٍ عَظِيمَةٍ كَفَرَهَا. This person, Allah has bestowed upon him a great favor which he did not appreciate. Here, kufr is not disbelief. He did not appreciate it. He was unappreciative to it. وَدَفَعَ حَظًّا جَسِيمًا مَحْرُومًا مِنْهُ غَيْرُهُ. And he paid a great portion which others have been prevented and deprived of. فَنَسْأَلُكَ اللَّهُمَّ عِلْمًا نَافِعًا وَعَمَلًا مُتَقَبِّلًا. So we ask you, Allah, of beneficial knowledge and a deed which is acceptable. وَأَنْ تَرْزُقَنَا الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ بَلَاءٍ يَا كَرِيمٍ. And that you should provide us with pardoning and protection from every kind of calamity, O most generous one. Then the ayah ends, and we end there, inshallah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينِ. Those who do not judge by what Allah has revealed of the clear truth. وَحَكَمَ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And then he instead judged with falsehood. الذي يعلمه يعلمه لغرض من أغراضه الفاسدة, whom he is teaching for one of his evil objectives. فأولئك هم الكافرون. It is those who are the disbelievers. فالحكم بغير ما أنزل الله من أعمال أهل الكفر. Judging by other than what Allah has revealed is from the actions of the people of disbelief. So we say to every country in the world which judges by man-made laws, that your judgment by man-made laws while putting away the deen of Allah, which is comprehensive for your well-being and for the rectification of your state and country, is then from the actions of the people of kufr. If it is not kufr itself, depending on the condition of the person who's making the judgment. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ كُفْرًا يَنْقِلُ عَنِ الْمِلَّةِ. And it could be kufr which will take you outside the pales of Islam. Judging by what other than what Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed. Like in Lebanon. In Lebanon, if somebody commits suicide, and they jump out of the window and they land on someone's car, the one who owns the car is convicted with murder. Because his car was in the way. The person wanted the floor, and the car prevented him from slamming the floor, so he slammed the car. So you have a share of the crime. Ludicrous? It is. In Egypt, now inshallah that will change, but in Egypt, if someone if someone walked in on his wife, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, with a man, and the man got up and shot the husband, then he is not guilty. Why? Because this is self-defense. And it's most likely, according to them, it's more probable that the husband was going to kill him, so he killed him first to, you know, protect himself. He goes out free. Not convicted with murder. Even though he killed the wife's husband, and he's sleeping with her. Because it's self-defense. Stupid laws. Stupid laws that human beings invent in France and England and whatever, and they bring them out, or, you know, these countries, Muslim countries, so-called and so forth. That's what they call them. And this is the retardedness of these rulings. Hey. And they leave the hukm of Allah. وَذَلِكَ إِذَا اَعْتَقَدَ حِلَّهُ وَجَوَازَهُ. So if the person judges by other than what Allah has revealed, while deeming it to be halal and permissible, it's kufr. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ كَبِيرَةً مِنْ كَبَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ. Or it could be a major sin from among the sins, if he doesn't believe that it's halal. قَدْ اسْتَحَقَّ مَنْ فَعَلَهُ الْعَذَابَ الشَّدِيدِ. The one who does it deserves the severe punishment. InshaAllah ta'ala, next week we'll continue with the discussion on the tafsir of Surah Al-Ma'idah, specifically the concept of retribution or the law of retribution. نعم قصاص. والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.